Well, that was wonderful, wasn't it? Let's give them one more hand. Great job, boys and girls. Thank you, Mrs. McGuire, and all of those who had a part in investing in our children. I love to hear children sing the songs of Christmas. I love to hear them quote scripture passages, don't you? I've been working with Will over the last couple of days on his, and I think he and I know his verse well after all of that. So thank you again, workers, for putting God's word in the hearts of our children. The very first song of their program was called Celebrate the Season. Thank you, Brother Ryan. If there's one thing that I know, it's that human beings love to celebrate. In fact, we'll look for any reason at all to take a day off work and put our party hats on. Listen to some of the days that have found their ways onto various calendars that people celebrate. Besides being New Year's Day, January the 1st is also Polar Bear Plunge Day. I think I'll be abstaining from that holiday this year. March 14th is, of course, Pi Day, PI 3.14. May the 4th is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. June 1 is National Donut Day. That is a day that I can celebrate. October 21st is Count Your Buttons Day. December the 8th, yesterday, was Pretend You Are a Time Traveler Day. Some of you missed the memo on that. Today is Christmas card day, apparently. So Brother Rigsby says you have until 11:59 to get him his card. We love to celebrate, but for some reason, as December the 25th draws closer, a lot of people turn into Ebenezer Scrooges. I know Christmas can be hard for some people. If you've lost a loved one this year or you're estranged from family, listen. No one expects you to put your lights up and act like everything is okay. But for the rest of us, if there were ever a time that Christians ought to celebrate, it's at Christmas. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2 for a very brief message this evening. Our children have already preached quite a message. I want to make a proposition to you tonight, and here it is. As human beings made in the image of God, we love to celebrate because He loves to celebrate. And I want to take it even further. God is interested in your joy. He is interested in your personal happiness. He is even interested in your celebrations. Why? Because God is a joyful, happy God who loves to celebrate. And I want to show that to you from the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. Let's begin our reading in verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. For one moment in human history, heaven's celebration spilled over to earth. The shepherds got a front row seat to see the party of the ages. And if you could see with eyes of faith what they saw with their eyes that night, you would see in what the angels said, plenty of reasons to rejoice. Luke chapter 2 gives us at least 4 reasons to rejoice, and I hope you'll meditate upon them this Christmas season. Here's the first reason. God is glorious. He's glorious. The Bible tells us that the shepherds were in their fields watching their flocks. They were probably doing that for the umpteenth night in a row. That night, I'm sure, started out like every other night did. They probably thought it would be a very ordinary, very mundane night watching the frazzling sheep again. But soon they discovered that this night wasn't like any other night, was it? This was the night that the glory of God had come bursting into this world through the person of Jesus Christ. And the first thing that the shepherds noticed that showed them this wasn't any ordinary night, the Bible says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Can you imagine what that must have been like? The word glory refers to the weightiness of God. The glory of God is the visual manifestation of His greatness. That night it must have manifested itself as light, because the Bible says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And it was so bright and so blinding that the shepherds were afraid. We've never seen the glory of God like that, but please don't miss it tonight. We live in a world that's full of the glory of God. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. The sun rises and sunsets are beautiful. And ice cream tastes so sweet. And you get a small feeling as you dwell under the night sky and stare up at thousands and thousands of stars. You know why that feels, why you feel so small? You know why it tastes so sweet? You know why the sunrises and sunsets are so beautiful? Because God is glorious. And He created this world, and His glory is shouting to His creation. But like the shepherds, we live in a world that's full of the glory of God, but we're blind to it. There were those shepherds in a beautiful field, rolling green hills, hundreds of sheep perhaps, thousands of beautiful stars, all preaching a message in a universal language, and they didn't see the glory until it shone round about them. We're just like those shepherds. We live in a world filled with the glory of God, and we're blind to it. But here's what Christmas does. Christmas reminds us that one day our eyes will no longer be blind to the glory of God. One day our eyes will see what the shepherds saw. One day we will be in heaven, and like we read about this morning, we will see Him as He is. And I can promise you this, we will not be bored. One look at our great God, and we will find Him so weighty and so wonderful that we would behold and worship Him for all of eternity. One day the glory of God will shine about us all. And this story gives us a reason to rejoice, because it reminds us in a world of the mundane and ordinary that God is glorious. Here's another thing it reminds us of. God is good. The shepherds were right to be afraid, but what did the angel say? Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So don't miss it. You don't have to be afraid, because I've come to bring you news. Not just news, good news. Not just good news of great tidings. And not just good news of great tidings, but good news of great tidings for everyone. God is so good that His goodness comes spilling out in the announcement of this angel. When the angel concludes its announcement and tells the shepherds where they can find the Lord Jesus, that lone angel is joined by a multitude of the heavenly hosts, the Bible says. That means that that night, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of angels there, and they all joined together in unison to praise God and say, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Have you ever been in a place where thousands of people join into one and they sing praises to God? One of the reasons I love going to pastors' conferences is not just the preaching, though I love the preaching. I love to get in a room with a thousand or more other pastors and people that are in the ministry and that love the Lord, and I love to hear them sing. It's ear-splitting. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah 6? That the voice of one angel shook the post of the temple. Do you remember the story? Can you imagine what it must have been like as the host of heaven joined in a mighty choir and gave praise to God together? What a glorious sound it must have been. Here's my question. If God was unhappy, like some people think he is, if God is cranky and depressed and angry all the time, like some people think he is, then how do you explain the joy of the angels? You see, they live in God's presence from eternity past all the way through eternity, and they seem pretty happy to me. What do you think? It's as if for one moment, God does this. He opens the door of heaven, lets us get a peek inside, and then shuts it again. But we get to see just enough of his glory and goodness that we know that what the psalmist said is true. In his presence there is fullness of joy. And the angels showed it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten a sample at a grocery store before? I love going to Sam's Club just for the samples. How many of you understand that grocery stores are not in the business of giving away food? They're not giving you a sample just to be nice. They're in it for a profit. They hope that they can give you just a small piece of something very good and that you'll think it's so good, you'll want more. Now, that's exactly what happens in this story. For just a moment, we get a sample of what heaven is like. For just a moment, we get to taste what the joy of heaven will be like. And the idea is that it is so good and so glorious, we would say, I want that for all of eternity. Here's a reason to rejoice. God is glorious. God is good. And he came to bring good news of great joy for all people. Here's another reason to rejoice. God is relevant. Now, some of you don't like that word already, I can tell. It's a loaded word. It doesn't mean that God is cool or that God is contemporary. The word relevant means that it's connected to the matter at hand, it's pertinent, it's needful. And God is relevant because he tells the shepherds, for unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And a Savior, of course, is what we most need. Someone has said if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But because our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. Do you know why heaven is such a happy place? For two reasons. Number one, God is there and he's a happy God. Number two, sin is not there. Now, that's good news and it's bad news. It's bad news in this way. If I want to get in heaven, I'm in trouble because I'm a sinner. If I'm going to get to heaven, to a place that's happy because it's sinless, then something will have to be done about my sin. That means, again, that my greatest problem is not political, it's not financial, it's not relational. My greatest problem is that I'm going to die one day and I cannot get into heaven if I am in my sin. So the Lord Jesus did the most relevant thing he could do, the most pertinent, needful thing that he could do. He stepped out from eternity into time, took on a human body so that he could die for my sins. The angel told Joseph, call his name Jesus. It means Jehovah saves. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus didn't come to give us a couple of days off work around Christmas time. Jesus didn't come to be a good teacher or primarily a good miracle worker. Jesus Christ came for one reason and one reason only, to die on the cross for our sins so we could be saved. This passage tells us God is relevant because he's done something about our greatest need, and we can rejoice in that. Here's the last reason to rejoice. God is for you. What does God want for men? The angels sang it. He wants peace on earth and goodwill. That's what God wants for men. What does God want for you? Peace. Peace with God and the peace of God that passes understanding to guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. What does God want? He wants good for you. But don't miss the first part of their song. We often do. That God wants good and peace for me gives me the warm fuzzies, but I often disconnect it from the first part of their song. What did they sing first? Glory to God in the highest. Why? Because there is no way to have peace and good apart from a life that gives God highest glory. That's the secret to peace and good. God has made us in such a way that our good is connected to his glory. Would you listen to me? When God made us, he made us worship machines. We were created by God and for God with the purpose that we would bring glory to God. You were made to worship. But because of sin, instead of worshiping God who deserves it, we worship a lot of other things, don't we? Might be money, might be sex, might be family or entertainment. And every other thing that we worship, if it's not God, ultimately destroys us. Think about it with me for a minute. Imagine a lady who idolizes romance. She attaches her ultimate meaning and satisfaction in life to a romantic relationship. She thinks all her life about the man that she'll marry. Finally, one day, she falls in love. When she does marry that man, she attaches all of her happiness in life to him. What's going to happen to that woman? She is going to inevitably be disappointed with that man, isn't she? Either he is going to be disillusioned by her smothering kind of love, or she is going to realize that he falls far short in his quest to make her endlessly happy. And we all know that in that woman's life, the thing that she worships will ultimately destroy her. Ladies and gentlemen, the same can be said of sex. You worship sex, it'll destroy you one day. The same can be said of money. You worship money, it will destroy you one day. There's only one in the universe worthy of your worship, and it's God. And he's the only one that if you worship will not destroy you, but will bring peace and good into your life. You want the peace of God today? Here's how you can have it. Give God glory. Make him the high priority in your life. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've never received the free gift that Jesus came to this earth to give you, receiving it is very simple. I say often it's as easy as A, B, C, D. A, admit that you're a sinner. We all have misplaced worship. We all fall short of God's standard of perfection. B, believe in Jesus Christ. Believe he lived a sinless life. Believe he died for your sins on the cross. Believe he rose again and is the only way to God. C, call on Christ. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You don't have to get baptized, join a church, or do good works. All you have to do is turn from your sin and by faith receive God. Call on him to be your Savior. D, do it now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. The greatest gift that you could give Jesus Christ this Christmas is to receive his gift of love for you and be saved. Christian, can I say this to you tonight? If all of those things are true, and they are, then we have plenty of reasons to rejoice, don't we? We have no reason to become Ebenezer Scrooges. And I want you to look at your neighbor for just a minute. Look at your neighbor. Here's what I want you to say. Christmas is not my birthday. If you'll remember tonight whose birthday it really is and make his highest glory your highest priority during the Christmas season, you'll have plenty of reasons to rejoice. Let's pray together, may we? Father, thank you for sending those angels to bring us good tidings of great joy to all people. This is a season to celebrate. It's a season to rejoice. It's a season to tell someone else about all the good things that you have done for us. I pray that if there's someone here tonight that does not know Christ, that they would be saved in the next few moments. And I pray for Christians who perhaps have fallen into a discouraged, pessimistic viewpoint this time of year. I pray that you would do a work on their heart and show them all the reasons that they have to rejoice. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just one question tonight. Is there anybody here that would say, "I'm not 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I would like to be"? If that's you tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand with mine? "I'm not 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I would like to be." Here in just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. Brother Danny is going to lead us in a song. If you need to receive the free gift of eternal life, leave your place. A man will meet you here. A lady will meet you here, ma'am. And we'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Christian, have you lost your joy this Christmas? Oh, there are plenty of reasons to rejoice. Come and get it. Let's stand together, may we? Father, use this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Danny's going to lead us in a verse. You come tonight.